Good morning. I'd say, first of all, thanks to the youth for taking over last Sunday. The reports I've gotten have been very positive, and today you have to put up with just a sermon rather than, you know, all the fun that the youth can do, but that's the way it goes. We'll try that again sometime, probably. Well, as you may recall, we're working our way through the Gospel of John, looking at the seven I am statements found there. Now, there are actually two statements found in John 10, and in some ways the next one is much easier, since we all know about the Good Shepherd, and there's lots of imagery and all of that with the Good Shepherd. And as one commentator pointed out and Gate mentioned, there aren't a lot of songs about Jesus as the gate or the door. The word translated gate in this passage, as Richard pointed out, is most often translated door in other places. It's the same word in all of that. But because it's referring here to a sheepfold, it's usually translated gate because that seemed to be more appropriate than door. So just to be clear about that. Now, because the Gospel of John is carefully constructed, we need to pay attention to the context that the writer places this passage into. In the Gospel of John, there's a sign, and then controversy, and then some commentary. So chapter 9 is one of the signs recorded in the Gospel. It's the story of the man born blind, whom Jesus heals on the Sabbath. And of course, the religious leaders got word of this, and there's a whole long story there. They first question the man himself about how this happened and who did this, and then they call his parents in to find out whether this is really who he says he is, and they say, yes, he was blind, and now he could see. How it happened, they said, ask him. We don't know. And so finally, the Pharisees question the man again. And when he rather forcefully defends Jesus and says, well, he did this. Why don't you believe him? Who else has done this kind of thing? The man is then insulted, and then it says they drove him out. And then Jesus finds the man who has been healed and questions him as to whether he believes. And the man says, yes, I do believe. This in turn results in an exchange with some Pharisees standing nearby, to which Jesus replies to them, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, we see, your sin remains. And then Jesus goes on with this discourse on the sheepfold, using both the images of the gate as well as the shepherd. So what's going on here? Blindness and seeing, inside and outside, thieves and robbers and shepherds. Well, Jesus begins his discourse with two images, pictures. The first about people who climb over the fence and don't come in by the gate like the shepherd would. And the second is the picture of the shepherd, which we'll pick up on in 2 weeks. But the writer says the people didn't understand what Jesus was trying to say to them. And so he needed to expand on that. I am the gate, Jesus says. The gate is the proper way to enter and leave the sheepfold. And the true shepherds do so. The gate defines the inside from the outside, those who are blind from those who see. And anyone who tries to enter by climbing over the wall or the fence is up to no good and has ill motives on their mind, he said. I was reminded as I was working in this of potential pastors that I worked with at times when I served as a conference minister. There was and is a procedure that potential pastors were to follow in seeking a position, which involved filling out a ministerial leadership information form, or MLI, and then walking through the process that was there. And the same was true for congregations. There was a process to follow. But there were always these people who thought they didn't have to follow the procedures and the process. They tried to circumvent some part of it, often, I found, with unfortunate results. So Jesus says to the Pharisees, you think there are certain ways into the kingdom of God by following exactly the laws that you have developed, which, by the way, included not healing on the Sabbath, which Jesus had just done with the blind man. But Jesus says those aren't the proper ways to get in. Jesus indeed showed us a different way, the proper way, which involved compassion for those on the margins. Enter by the gate which brings salvation, Jesus says, both to the blind as well as to those who think they see. As one commentator put it, quote, I am the door, I am the proper way, the right way, the only way into the sheepfold. Pasture, that is life, is through me the door. Those who enter are being saved, that is, being brought into pasture and life rather than being snatched up for their destruction. For the blind man, as Caroline Lewis put it, the man blind from birth is saved from isolation and marginalization. His healing saves him from everlasting darkness. Never again will he wonder where his next meal will be or who will answer his pleas as he sits begging outside the city. He will know the safety and security of community. End quote. Jesus says that whoever enters by the gate will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The promise of nourishment, as with living water and bread and light, will give life in its fullness. Now, it's interesting that Jesus doesn't say, I am the gate, and once I get the flock into the fold, I shut the gate and make sure that no one goes in and out anymore and everybody's safe inside. This isn't a shut gate with exclusive rights to enter, talked about. Rather, the sheep go in and out and find pasture. It's not a picture of a huddle, but rather of life lived in its fullness. And as Jesus makes clear, just being in the sheepfold doesn't mean that everything is safe and secure. There are those who attempt to sneak over the fence and steal the sheep, leading many astray. Not everyone who claims to be a shepherd has the best interests of the sheep in mind. The test is whether they enter through the gate and focus on Jesus. Gates are ways in and out. They're breaks in the fence so that there is a way in, just as the door lets you enter and leave a room. In the house that we lived in Nebraska, there was a small room on the side of the house, which, because of remodeling that had been done years earlier, could only be accessed by a small window from the outside. There was no door into this little room. It was an interesting conversation piece, but it really served no purpose at all. I think sometimes people look at the church that way. It's an interesting conversation piece, but it really has very little purpose, and access is very limited. Not really worth the effort. I did crawl into the room one time to replace some. Actually, the standpipe went up through the room, but that was the only thing that was in there. It wasn't really worth the effort getting in there. But Jesus provides the gate. And Jesus is just as relevant today as he was 2,000 years ago. Jesus modeled a way of life that welcomed the stranger and even the outcast. He supplied what was needed to make life more abundant for the leper and the blind man. He forgave those who came to him seeking comfort, and he had harsh words for the religious leaders who nitpicked their way to positions of power and kept the undesirables out. If indeed the church practices the way of Jesus, then the church too will be more than just a nice conversation piece, but will be a gate as well that shows people a way of life that is nourishing and meets the needs of the world around us. Later on this morning, we'll hear a bit about Mennonite Church Canada Assembly last weekend. There are a lot of unknowns that are still being worked out, but one of the emphases is on the local congregation as the primary place where the mission of God is carried out. That's not really new, but it reminds us that it's up to you and I to point the way to Jesus, to open the gate and invite all to come in through the gate, which is Jesus.